Records. Records. They are important. They are complicated. They are boring. They pile up and up and up. And at least for some records, there are kind of general guidelines for how long you need to kind of keep them, file them, let them pile up. You know, 4 years for legal contracts. They say 7 years for medical records or insurance or taxes. And after that, then you can kind of take them over and you can put them in the shredder and say goodbye. But, you know, what about the records that don't fit in one of those nice, neat, pre-established categories? And by the way, this isn't just a hypothetical for me. This is Adam is preparing to transition to RHMA, so from pastor here at Grace Bible Church to executive director over there. And if you've been in my office, I got those three big filing cabinets that I just keep putting papers in. And what am I supposed to do with those? And how long do I need to keep the records that I have there? I'm sorting through all of it, and I have to ask questions like, how long should I keep the record of the very first resume that I sent to Grace Bible Church? This is going to be like in December of 2007. You know, do I need to keep that record, yes or no? Jerry's keeping everything. You know, how long do I need to keep this record of the Bible notes from a sermon on 1 Thessalonians 2, 1-12 that I taught in like 2009? Do I need to keep that record? Can I let go of it? Well, can that one go in the shredder? Listen, Janet, I know you're going to be a shredder, all right? There was no question about that. Now, what about these meeting minutes from a 2015 Washington Ministerial Association meeting? You know, do I need to keep those? Do I shred them? Can I let them go? Or what about the information that I pulled together when I was applying for a Lilly grant for my sabbatical? Is that the type of thing that I need to keep a hold of? Or can I shred it? Can I let it go? And the funny thing is, again, some of you, I can already hear it, some of you, you're like, shred it. Shred it all. And some of you, if I take, like, you know, this resume and I hold it near the shredder, you get, like, very, very worried. If you had a heart attack, don't worry. That wasn't the original. That was just a print-off copy. Because I'm a holder on too. I don't think I could shred the original. But listen, it's complicated, right? Like, some things we're ready to get rid of, but some things we're worried we should hold on to because we might need them. And, you know, in the same way that written records and whether we keep them or not is complicated, spiritual records can be complicated as well. What about the record of the wrongs that we've done in this life? What about God's record of that? He certainly has a record if he desires. What about our record of those wrongs in our lives? What do we do with those? Do we shred them all? Do we need to keep some of them? Do we need to hold on to them? And again, some people are like, shred it because of Jesus, send it all. Some people say, well, I don't know. Do I need to hold on to those things? Am I making light of Jesus' work if I just rush to shred all those wrong things I've done? Like a lot of things, it's complicated. And we all have those records in our lives of the wrong things we've done. Maybe it was that weekend in high school when you were out partying with your friends and the accident that took place afterwards. And, you know, what do you do with that record? You've been holding on to it for years. Or maybe it's the record of how you got fired from your last job that you would just prefer to forget. That involves you getting caught misappropriating funds into your pocket. Or maybe it's the type of thing that, you know, hurts now a lot, but you'll probably forget in a few weeks. That disagreement you had with your spouse over who was supposed to take the car for the oil change. And you were sure they were supposed to do it, and they were sure you were supposed to do it, and it became a whole thing. Now, we've got these records. What do we do with them? What does God want us to do with them? What's his perspective on them? It's what we're going to explore and unpack together this morning in Psalm 130. Why don't you turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 130. If you've got your app, bring that up, Psalm 130. We're continuing our summer in the Psalms together, and today we are studying Psalm 130. And as the psalmist processes what God wants him to do with the record of his sins, we'll talk about our own as well in Psalm 130. These are the words that are recorded for us. A song of ascents. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. These are the words of Psalm 130. And as we begin to work through the psalm together, the first thing I want us to take note of is the fact that if we were to actually hold on to a record of our sins, we would be completely and utterly overwhelmed. If we thought we could actually keep hold of a record of all of our sins, we would be completely and utterly overwhelmed. We're reminded of this in verses 1 and 2. The psalmist begins, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. That word depths, it's associated with the sea, with the ocean. It's almost as if he's pictured there in the ocean calling out to the Lord for deliverance as the waves roll in and they push him further and under and he's fighting for breath and he's calling out, Lord, help me, Lord, save me. But here's the thing. The psalmist isn't drowning in the waters of the Sea of Galilee or the Mediterranean. What the psalmist is drowning in is the reality of his own sinfulness, of his brokenness. O Lord, he says, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. Lord, save me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, I am being overwhelmed by all of my sins. Couple things worth noting about this call for deliverance. One, you know, this isn't coming from some pagan ne'er-do-well. This is a call coming from a believer, a man of God, used to record this very psalm. He knows that there is a multitude of sin, even in his own life. And when he calls out for mercy here, in the Hebrew, that word's actually in the plural. As in, he's not calling for mercy because he's done, like, one really big wrong thing that's overwhelming him. There are psalms like that. I think of David's psalm following his sin with Bathsheba. This is the plurality of mercy that he is seeking. Lord, give me your mercies. Lord, I am being overwhelmed by the multitude of my sins. That's what the psalmist is calling out. The truth is this. If we were to keep a true record of our sins, not just pick and choose here and there. If we were to keep a full record of it, it would be an ocean that any of us would be drowning in. And it's a hard truth for us as believers to wrestle with. We want to think that maybe as unbelievers, true, but not as believers, but make no doubt, our lives are full of sin as well. There are those that we've already talked about. There's that accident after everything that happened with your friends. Those sins that you would rather forget. There's those sins that you've been holding on to. Like what happened at your last job. There's those sins that you will soon forget about. And It seems big now, but you will have forgotten the record of it in just a couple weeks. Like that fight with your spouse over who's taking the car in for an oil change. And then there's all those sins that are so common, are so regular, that we don't even consider them sin. It's just like the air we breathe. The way you gossip about your neighbor. Your selfishness with your finances. Your refusal to trust God enough to take a rest from your work. Your impatience and need to rush from place to place. Your refusal to take care of the body that God has entrusted to you. Your addiction to your phone. And let's, of course, not forget the fact that you chew gum. And you do it not because you like to chew gum, but because you know it annoys your brother, Charlie, and it just brings you joy to annoy the dickens out of him. Like, we've got that. Like, we all have just this sin that our life is awash in. And again, you know how it is with records. Like, you keep them, and they start to build up. And they fill up the filing cabinet, and then they get stacked on top of the filing cabinet, and then they end up in a tub beside the filing cabinet, and the tubs start to stack up. Then you've got things stacked on top of the tubs, and there's just more and more records. Well, the same is true for our sin. Our lives as believers are awash in sin. If we were to keep an actual record of it, we would be completely and utterly overwhelmed. I don't even think we are capable of keeping a true record of all of our sins. But God could. I mean, God could keep a record of our sin if he wanted, right? I mean, he got a celestial filing cabinet that's big enough if he so desired. God could. He's got the knowledge to keep track of it. He's got the understanding. He's got the ability. We might not be able to keep a record of our sin because it's so much, but God most certainly could. But thankfully, God's not interested in keeping a record of our sins. God is not interested in keeping a record of our sins. We're reminded of this in verses 3 to 4. The psalmist says this, "If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?" If. Praise God for the word if. Lord, if you kept a record of our sins, who could stand? And that who could stand, it could mean one of two things, both of which may very well be in view in our passage. It could be in terms of having a relationship with God. God, if you kept a full record of all of our sins, not one of us would be able to stand and be in relationship with you because our sin would naturally drive us entirely from your presence. The other thing that could be in view is a time of judgment at the end of this life. God, if you were to keep a record of our sins and hold us accountable, not a one of us could stand. Can you imagine that? Could you imagine appearing before God and him saying, "Hey, just take a seat. It'll be a couple hundred years. Let's just talk through each and every one of your sins." And you work through it. Every sin you have ever committed in the entirety of your life. Not just the things that you did wrong, sins of commission, but James tells us, he who knows what he should do and does not do it, it's sin. That's sins of omission as well. So every single good thing you didn't do as well, and all those bad things, can you imagine what it would be like to just relive every single wrong in the entirety of your life from beginning to end? I can't think of anything much worse. Not a single one of us would be standing. I would be in the fetal position just crying because that would be so overwhelming. And that's what the psalmist is talking about here. Lord, if you did that, if that's what you held us to, Lord, who can stand? But thankfully, the Lord's not interested in keeping a record of our sins. Now, I want to be clear about that. I'm not saying that the Lord can't or won't ever keep a record of sins. In fact, we know that judgment awaits those who do not find forgiveness in Christ, and they will have to give an account for every single one of their sins. That future does await some. But that's not what God wants. That's not what God's ultimate desire is for humanity. And the reason I know that with 100% certainty is because he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. If God did not want to forgive our sins, if God wanted us to be trapped in judgment and wanted to go through that with us, then he would never have sent Jesus in the first place. But God is not interested in keeping a record of our sins. That is not what God wants. God wants to forgive us. He wants to be in relationship with us. We're told in verse 4, but with you there is forgiveness, God. Therefore you are to be feared. With God there is forgiveness. God has a desire to forgive us. God does not want to keep this long record of our sins. God wants to forgive us and wash them away. And I think sometimes we need to be reminded of that as believers, especially as like conservative Bible church going believers. You see, here at Grace Bible Church, you know, we believe in the Word of God, and we believe in the reality of sin. And so we talk about sin pretty regularly here. And we talk about the way we fall short, and we talk about how we need to overcome it, and we talk about our needs to change and grow. And when we do that week in and week out, I think sometimes maybe we can get an image of God as if he's focused entirely on our sin. We almost begin to picture God like we picture an IRS agent going over our tax return. You know how most people picture IRS agents. I'm not saying this is how they really do work, but, you know, they love to go over those and find everything that's wrong, right? Oh, you didn't fill in that box entirely. I'm going to get that. Oh, no, you rounded incorrectly on that one. Bad math, I'm going to get you for that. Oh, you thought you could deduct that? Nope, that was 2021. We can't do that in 2022. Oh, yeah, you're going to get a bill for that and that. And just we imagine them like gleefully going it over, looking for every small thing, like taking joy almost and like every penny they can steal back and every wrong they can find. And sometimes we can almost envision God in that way, that he wants to look at our lives and he wants to find every single bit of sin and just somehow takes joy in seeing it and calling it out and punishing us for it. And that is not who God is. That is not what God desires. Again, God so loved the world. When God chooses to describe himself in Scripture, he talks about himself as being loving and gracious and merciful. God is not interested in keeping a record of our sin. That's not what he wants his relationship with us to be. Through Christ, God took all of our sins and he shredded them. Colossians 2:14 tells us there wasn't a shredder back then. Instead, we're told that he took his record of our sins and he nailed it to the cross. And there on the cross, our sins were taken away. They were separated from us as far as the east is from the west. They are no longer there in the eyes of God. We will not have to give an account for them in eternity. They have been forgiven through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. God is not interested in keeping a record of our sins. God is interested in us finding forgiveness and redemption through Jesus Christ. But this, well now this is where records get really interesting and a little bit complicated. So if God has taken his record of our sins and he has shredded it, what about our record of sins? Because God's got a record of sins, and he's taking care of that, but we know our sins that we've committed. Like, what are we supposed to do with our record of our sins? Do we shred it? Do we need to hold on to it? And it's interesting, in Christian circles, a lot of times we jump to saying, well, shred it. Of course we need to shred it, because God has shredded our sins through Christ on the cross, so why would we ever keep a hold of them? And I get it, I understand it. We're Grace Bible Church, and I'm with you. But it's a little more complicated than that. And just hear me out. Let me give you an example of why we need to just maybe wait before we rush to shred out the record of our sins. Let me just tell you a fictitious story and see what you think about it. There was a husband and wife, and they had been married together for 10 years. One weekend, while the husband is down in New Mexico for business, his wife says, "You know what? I'm going to have a girls' night up in Chicago." So she and some girlfriends, they go up to Chicago for a fancy night out. And while they are at the restaurant, she sees her husband there with his secretary. It turns out that he's been having an affair for 2 years. And a lot of those business trips were trips with her. They obviously have it out in the restaurant. And then the two of them drive back to the Peoria area together. It is a 2.5 hour drive that seems like it takes 100 years as they ride in cold silence. And when they arrive back home, the husband turns to the wife and says this, "I don't understand how you can be so upset. I don't think it's fair. I mean, didn't Jesus already forgive me for my sins? How can you still be holding it against me? Is that right? Would you think that that's okay?" "Well, no, but don't you get to take your sins and shred the record of them because of what Jesus has done on the cross?" "Oh, well, see, that's why I say it's a little bit more complicated. I do believe that God has shredded the record of our sins through the work of Christ on the cross. But I also believe that God wants us to wait on his timing and his plans and purposes before we rush to shred our own. I believe God wants us to wait on his timing and his plans and his purposes before we rush to shred our own." And we even see this in the psalm. Look again at verses 5 and 6. The psalmist says this, "I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning." Wait, wait, wait. I wait, he says. And he's not waiting to find out if God forgives him or not. Because he knows that God has forgiven him. That's not what he's waiting on. Instead, he waits as the watchman waits for the morning. Because is the morning going to come? Yes, it's guaranteed. Every morning, without fail, the sun comes up until this world ends. The psalmist knows he is forgiven. He knows God is at work, but he is waiting on God's plans and on God's purposes because there is some sin that he needs to work through with the Lord. It reminds me a lot of what we read in 1 John 1 and 9 and 10. We're told this. This is written to believers. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." What God wants us to do is to confess our sins. That means to say the same thing about them that he does. He wants us to see them as sin. He wants to see the wrong that's there. He wants us to grow from those things so that we work through them. That's what God desires. And sometimes I think we rush so quickly to shred our sins because of what Jesus has done for us that maybe we don't process some of those things that God wanted us to. Maybe we don't take time and come to terms with why we felt the need to be at that party in the first place. We don't come to terms with why we took that money for ourselves and what that says about our relationship with God and our trust in him and how we value things more than our relationship with God. We didn't take time and process. Why didn't we want to take the car in? Why was it such a big deal? Why did they have to do it instead of us? What's going on that we refuse to be a servant to our spouse in that way? Those are the things God wants us to work through and process. And as we confess our sins, as we bring them before him, he is faithful and just. He will purify us from all unrighteousness. He then helps us take this record of our sins that he's already shredded his copy. There's nothing waiting for us in eternity, but the record here on earth can go right there in the shredder as well. That's what God wants for us. It's God's desire. Some of us are too quick to shred that record of sin, but I'll also say this. There may be some of you here this morning that are keepers, that maybe you've been keeping a record of your sin that you've worked through long ago, that God's forgiven eons ago, and for whatever reason, you're holding on to it. You don't have to. You don't have to keep that wrong from 10, 20, 30 years ago. It haunts you. It fills you with guilt. And it's not a godly guilt that moves us to change. You've already changed. You'll never do it again. You learned your lesson. But for some reason, you still hold on to that record of sin. It's time to take it and put that in the shredder as well. Because God, He doesn't want us to have to be burdened by those sins. He doesn't want us to hold on to them. That's not why He sent Jesus. That's not why He works in our lives. He doesn't want those sins to pile up. He's ready for us to take those sins and put them in the shredder. And yes, we need to wait on His plans and purposes, but some of us, we've probably been waiting well beyond that as well. Like any of us, some of us are keeping on to spiritual records that we should have gotten rid of a long, long time ago. And as the psalmist comes to realize this, as he comes to understand what God wants for him, this forgiveness, this redemption, both in eternity and in this life as well, the psalmist, he wants everybody to know what God has to offer. He wants everybody to place their faith and trust in Him. We see this in verse 7. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with Him is full redemption, full redemption. That God is shredding those sins that are up in eternity, and that record that we have in this life, that can be shredded as well as we grow and mature through it. He Himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. The psalmist wants everybody to know. He wants everybody to experience this. He doesn't want anybody to have a life where those sins have piled up and they have no hope, and they have no redemption, and they're just drowning in that sin. And if you're here this morning, and you feel like that, you haven't placed your faith and trust in Jesus. But as we talk about this idea that you can have them forgiven for eternity, and then that God will help them, help you grow through them in the here and now, and you're thinking, I would love that. You can have that. That's what God wants you to have through Jesus Christ. And it's not something you have to work for or earn or justify. It's a free gift that we accept simply by placing our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. By believing that He did, in fact, die on a cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And that God rose Him up again 3 days later. And that anybody who believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, as we're told in John 3:16. Our sins are washed away. They are shredded now and forever. If you'd like to place your faith and trust in Jesus this morning, I want to invite you to follow along with me in your heart and in your head as we close together in prayer. And it's not a prayer that saves anybody, but sometimes it's helpful for us to take that faith that we have in our hearts and just put it into words. Would you bow with me? If you wanted to place your faith and trust in Jesus, you might pray something like this. Dear Jesus, I believe that You came into this world and lived a perfect life, that You had no record of sin, but that You suffered and died for my record of sin. I trust that through You, I am forgiven now and forever. Help me to live that life for You. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before You and we praise You. We praise You that You are not interested in keeping a record of our sin. We praise You that You sent Jesus to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. We praise You, Lord, that salvation is by grace through faith and not something we have to work for or justify or earn, Lord. All of this comes from You. Lord, and I lift up those this morning, Lord, that maybe have been too quick to shred their record of their sins. I ask that the truth of Psalm 130 would give us pause, not in the reality of your forgiveness, but in the reality of what it means. And help us, Lord, to confess those sins, to see them for what they are, and to look to you to help us grow and mature through them. Lord, I also lift up those this morning who, even as believers, have been holding on to a record of their sin. And maybe it's been piling it up, or maybe they just have some big sin, Lord, that's haunted them for years. Lord, I ask that through the truth of your word this morning, you would help them to find comfort and hope in bringing that before you. And knowing that not only has your record of that sin already been destroyed, but that they can let go of it in the here and now as well. We pray these things in the name of your Son and by the power of your Spirit. Amen.
Would you stand and sing as we close?
Now, to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. You are dismissed.